Time has come for Wheels and Cats. We're gonna watch all those films and have a blast. We'll see our friends and enjoy some laughs. Sit right back and just relax.
Oh, wow.
40 years, everybody! 40 years, 40 episodes we have done of the Owen Wilson Cats. This is a very special moment.
Some would even say welcome back.
Welcome back, indeed. But at this point, does that really matter? Because even if no one's listening, this is really more of a fruit of our own labor. We do this for us. We do this for the love of Wilson. And we've done 40 episodes! 40 fucking episodes on this shit.
That's a lot.
It's a
lot. Name one other podcast that's lasted 40 episodes.
I can't. Exactly. I don't think one has ever lasted that long. We might be the one. I might call up Guinness Book of World Records right now.
Call them now. What's the number?
I don't know. I think it's 1-800-GUINNESS. And then the extension is records.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the extension when you reach. I imagine that goes to the Guinness factory, but I'm sure it's the same,
same company. We'll look it up.
It's probably the same company as the beer. But, I mean, this is big news. Again, I'm your host, The Big Snake, and also your host here.
Crazy T.
Hi, everybody. We got our favorite guest here, practically part of the Snake and T family.
Let's bring him in on this introduction.
Let's bring him right in here. Jaywalk, what up?
Howdy.
Texas Red, Mr. Wentworth.
Texas Red. How's everybody doing out there? In dreamland, right?
They're not sleep. I hope they're. You saying they're sleeping?
Wait for their response. All right, it's good.
Okay, yeah.
It's like we're on Blue's Clues.
Yeah.
Remember watching Blue's Clues, and he would like give that pause for their response. Same thing with Dora.
I don't think I watched any of
those
shows.
Into this whole like 90s nostalgia thing. I don't want to talk about the fucking 90s.
I don't want to
talk
about being a
90s. Oh, I'm a 90s kid. I watched the Blue's Clues. I don't want to talk about it. Okay. Don't go down that path.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
I'd rather talk about something important, like the fact that we're getting our website back up and running.
That's right. Website's back up and running.
All hands on deck.
In fact,
here we go.
This would be the first time that our guests will see the podcast, so we're going to get a live reaction to the new website. You're going to hear his reaction to how stunning the website is.
So, Justin, feel free to react loudly and hopefully positively.
Oh, my God. Am I seeing this? Are you kidding me? What?
That's a tab.
What is that? Oh, my God. Oh,
nice.
No way. No way.
What would you say your favorite part of the website is?
Is it maybe the tabs that you don't have to scroll, because scrolling is really annoying, and we have a lot of tabs instead?
I really like the tabs.
Yeah, well, we want to be a tab. Scrolling is a pain in the ass. No one likes scrolling. We want to be a tab-based website.
Look at those confident boys on that homepage.
Wow. It almost looks like they're so close.
Where was this picture taken?
Be married to each other, right?
Can you guys disclose where you guys took this picture?
We could, but for our national audience, they might not know the area. But
we're gonna go ahead. I mean, I'll tell you this much: it was a beach.
Mm-hmm. It was a beach.
Mm-hmm. It still is a beach, as far as I know.
A warm day. It was definitely a warm day.
It was warm enough. I am wearing a poncho.
The ocean looks like it's to the west. Are you guys on the Pacific Ocean?
Very astute observation.
Yeah, very astute observation.
Yeah, no, you know. Yeah.
It was, in fact, to the west.
Maybe we were in the west somewhere. I don't know. You know?
This picture could be anywhere, you know?
Yeah. So, Big Snakes, tell some of the people about the website and how it's all coming along.
Well, the website is coming along swimmingly. There's been only a few disasters as we've been trying to get things off the ground here. But that's just life, you know, entropy.
Look, we're growing, and it's not 100% complete or anything, but I did spend $96, so it's...
That's all it takes, apparently, because after that, we just hit the ground running on this. I mean, we're working full-time on this. We're trying to get it up. The big release date, probably going to be at the beginning of this week, maybe last week, depending on when this gets published.
But
I mean, it's really exciting stuff. We're going to have a whole cast of crews here. Old Justin has been officially inducted into the official part of the Snake and T family. He's acting as, let's say, like a moderator for a forum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got that kind of clearance.
He's got pretty much all the time.
Yeah, security clearance. I gave him a spare key to my apartment, to come in and do pretty much whatever he wants.
Mm-hmm.
See? Yeah. So he's in.
Yeah. Perfect.
He's in. So you get used to seeing him around.
Yep.
Because he's in there. So big things are happening. We got a lot of
exciting
video ideas,
exciting
scripts, I mean, I could go on and on about all the ideas and events. The great stuff that's happening.
Look, I'm going to make sure to put the sneak peek link into the show notes.
Yep.
The sneak peek link.
The sneak peek link. So
people can get in there, get right in there. And
get in there. I mean, we're essentially doing our own promo codes these days. You know, the way business is going, woo, man.
Yeah. Exciting stuff.
Yeah. And we do have an official sponsor for the website. The official sponsor is Marshalls. You know, you don't have to spend a lot of money to look fashionable. And I think a lot of people are catching on to that these days. And so Marshalls is for the fashionista on the budget.
And with the spring collection coming out, I mean, you guys are going to want to make sure you get down there this weekend. Oh, the 2018 spring collection.
Go, because let me tell you something. These spring clothes are going to go fast. We're talking name brand stuff at discount prices.
And don't forget while you're there to pick up a new fragrance. It never hurts. You got to switch.
I mean, we're talking Armani. We're talking Gucci.
Versace.
We're talking Versace.
Fendi.
Yeah, you know what?
Adidas Sport.
That too. Any name under the sun that you can think of, they have there at a fraction of the cost you're going to pay at your like upscale department store.
That's right. Give them the link, Jake.
Go ahead. Go to marshalls.com/ who's that? / it's me. / okay, let's enter, please. / let the savings begin .patriots.NewEnglandNumber1team.co.in. You'll get right in there, get your promo code, get out of the stores, go shopping.
All right, and let's
we'll have the link in the description we'll type it up. It's a little lengthy, but they said that they needed to make it that way. Because the savings are so deep to get in there. They're just too deep savings.
Tons of exciting stuff. Yeah. But I want to get to the point today. It's our 40th episode.
That's the 40th episode beer right there.
The most important thing.
Cheers to that.
Woo!
The most important thing and the reason that we come together every so often here is the Wilson movies. And today we are reviewing The Hero of Color City.
Have you guys seen this? Have you guys heard of this movie?
Anyone.
We'll let them finish Googling it.
Well, hang on. We're not accounting this. I'm willing to bet that if you know this movie, chances are you have a very small child.
Or you are a very small child. You never know.
This is an explicit rated podcast. They should not be listening to this.
Our small child
go find your mother.
Awfully small.
And you know what? Maybe your mom's not around, but you should really, the internet's a dangerous place for a child your size and age.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a children's movie. What we're saying is that it's...
That's right. And yeah, we have a cast of Christina Ricci.
Oh, big name.
Rosie Perez, big Craig name. Ferguson.
Big name.
Sean Astin. Sean Astin. And of course, Owen Wilson. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And hello, Owen Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was a really an eye-opening experience. There was a lot of primary colors.
Hold on, before we get into this, I got a fun little exercise here.
Yeah.
This is some young boy's favorite childhood movie. Got me thinking about, like, what's our favorite childhood movies?
Oh, this is a good question.
Guys, what's your favorite childhood movie?
Justin? Were you ever a child? Were you allowed access to film as a boy?
I know. Children's movie.
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say up to 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Any of the Disney movies with the mice characters in them? There was a lot of those in the 90s.
Oh, you like the mice characters?
Like The Rescuers Down Under. That shit was tough.
Never seen it.
No.
No, I've never seen it. Rescuers Down Under.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm cataloging through a bunch of like very, very great childhood movies. I remember most with Frankie Muniz in them. You know, I just love his triangle shaped head. God. I used to be like, oh, it's so geometrical. Look at his head; it's
so good,
like a Dorito. His head looks like a Dorito. But I think my actual favorite childhood movie probably has to be Requiem for a Dream. As a small boy, I loved watching that movie. It brought me joy every time. I mean, you guys remember that? Just Home Alone, 4 or 5 years old, just watching Requiem for a Dream over and over again?
No.
Mm-mm. I just beg, Mother, please let me watch Requiem for a Dream. Please, Mommy. And she'd put it on, she'd be like, okay, Jake, but that's the 16th time you watched it this week.
This week.
That's fun.
What about you, T? I don't think you were ever a boy, but
I never watched a lot of like cartoon stuff, like the animated stuff. So it'd have to definitely be a live action movie.
Yeah.
Air Force One. I watched that movie like 100 times when I was in 6. Harrison Ford is the president.
I'm gonna say Small Soldiers.
Ooh. Actually, that was a really good one.
That's fun. Isn't that a fun movie?
Yeah, my uncle, I remember he won free tickets on the radio.
It's not nearly as fun as Air Force One. I think Air Force One is the most fun movie ever.
More fun than Requiem for a Dream?
You're talking about the Harrison Ford movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Get off my plane.
Wait, I thought you were talking about those sneakers.
Get off my plane.
You know, Gary Oldman is in it. He's the scrappy Russian.
Never seen it.
Taking on the stoic American, who happens to be the president of the United States as well, played by Harrison Ford. And it's, you know, it's just the perfect 90s action film. It's really just top to bottom is great. The vice president's played by Glenn Close. Madam Vice President is this very, very progressive film, you know?
I should probably go watch that sometime.
Oh, great.
But you know, the thing about kids is that, you know, I think we all realize this here right now. You watch it, you like a movie, you're a little retarded ass sitting in a chair, you watch it a billion fucking times. It doesn't matter to you because your underdeveloped little child brain could just watch the same shit over and over again. You just keep watching it.
Bob the Builder.
Boom. Wait, that wasn't a movie, wasn't it a show?
It was a TV show, it's mindless shit
distraction trash. For simple little children. Simple little boys and girls.
Have we already delved into that? Like, should we not have explained anything before? Like,
Well, I think this is a good transition to get into it.
I wanted to say that there is a lot to unpack for this film.
You thought you're getting into a simple children's film podcast, but nope. You're getting something
a little bit of a different animal, because I want to go ahead and say it. When you probably didn't realize when you uploaded this special edition 3.5 hour podcast that we did.
Buckle
your seatbelts, because we're going to take a serious left turn here.
Because this is going to get a little bit crazy, and you know what? Your mind might be blown once, twice, thrice. We're going to find out. Who wants to kick it off here with the Color City thing?
All right, so we went over the cast. I want to talk maybe first about the characters that this cast was playing.
Well, please, that was the best part.
What did you guys think of the Crayons? The main characters here are, because no one's going to go out and watch this movie with us. Mm-hmm. The main characters are the Crayons, and they live
We should mention this was a straight to, not DVD or Blu-ray, straight to streaming video.
VOD.
Yeah.
Video on demand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the main characters are these Crayons, and they live inside a crayon box, which teleports them to Color City.
Yeah. Their home, where they live.
It's also worth mentioning that they, inside this box, or rather outside of this box,
they're a little boy's plaything.
Little boy, and more specifically, we're going to zoom in on that little boy, turn him into Andy. From Toy Story, the Pixar film from what year? I don't know.
I think it was
1995. Your childhood. It's literally a copy of Andy's room, and they're just crayons.
I mean, outside of Justin ranting about some sort of weird niche movie that no one's ever heard of, I think that there is this little trope here. It's a little boy's room, and when you're a little boy and you have a room, that is your safe space. That's your
solace. I
want to
know
solace.
Where his brother on his bunk bed was, because that's what my room looked
there
like
was
when
no,
I was a boy.
There was no bunk bed.
That's what my room looked like when that's I was 25 years like. Old.
That's what my room looked like when I was much younger than 25.
Yeah, I had a bunk bed, and I shared my older brother when I was 25. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, did he climb up top as the smaller one?
Damn, why did this movie take place in that bedroom?
Yeah, well, there would have been much less joy and magic and a lot of just odors. Weird odors and...
More anime figurines.
Yeah, anime figurines. And well, you know, it's just... I used to be on the bottom bunk, but then Dave grew much faster than I did, and my mom mandated that he take the bottom bunk.
That's nice of you letting your younger brother have the top bunk.
No, I was the younger brother.
You were the younger one at 25.
I was the younger one at 25.
My God.
So really, he was the one that should be ashamed and embarrassed of living in a bunk bed when he was 26, 27.
But did he keep all his crayons?
Yeah, what was the crayon situation? What was everyone's crayon situation like?
I was not allowed.
What kind of color were you
in my room? What kind of color was I?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I would be maybe like a cyan.
Interesting. Justin, yeah. What kind of color are you?
Periwinkle.
Okay.
Interesting. Periwinkle. What about you, Tom? What kind of color are you?
Whatever shade of purple Prince uses, definitely.
I think that's just the purple. The regular purple.
The purple.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We're learning a little bit about each other here, too, while we're unpacking this really, like, dense
movie. I want to hear more about your childhood crayon exodus. What was going on with that?
We weren't allowed crayons in the room. You know?
For what reason?
Well, you know, there'd be drawing that we'd start using them all over the place, on the floors, on the walls.
In your buttholes.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. If we were allowed crayons in the room, maybe it would have progressed to that point. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you.
No, there wasn't a lot of crayon action. And then there was always the good crayons that everyone used too much, and then there was no, that crayon was just absent for life.
I was never a crayon guy. Colored pencils.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything away from the colored pencils. I'm just saying the movie's not about fucking colored pencils. It's about crayons! We're talking about crayons! Damn it, Tom! Why do you always have to fucking change the subject like that? We're not talking about colored pencils or magic markers. We're talking about crayons.
What was everyone's favorite scene in the movie today?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed the one where
let's talk about some scenes.
Okay, yeah.
Some specific scenes.
I really liked
the
one.
We gotta color the picture for the listeners.
That's good.
They weren't there with us. So yeah. Let's talk about some scenes that happened.
Well, they pulled up this map, to their directory for Color Worlds where they live.
Really like this, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, imagine Color City was where they originally were. The rest is just Color Land, Color Worlds.
It's based in a flat Earth society, I noticed.
Well, we made that much very clear.
Because there was no horizon. It was just...
This was a flat Earth.
They were
movie,
able to see
sure.
in short distance, middle distance, and long distance.
I think Kid Cudi had a hand at writing some of this movie too. So that Kyrie also
Irving.
Makes both of them actually. That makes me really think it was definitely a flat Earther movie. But I like when they pull up the map of the destinations, and this was the only actually genuinely funny part of the movie where they had the pun names. There was
the districts.
Houston, and then there was Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That one was my favorite one.
What
I don't know
was the
about.
Other one?
Houston.
Louisiana.
Louisiana.
That was a really nice one. The Eraser Mesa.
Yeah.
That one was
less inventive.
Yeah, less inventive for sure.
For sure.
But
Pennsylvania, that's funny.
That one was
Pennsylvania.
Really
yes.
It's
yes.
Yeah. Well, that was a good scene, Jake.
That was, thanks. That was my favorite one. Anyone else have a scene or something?
Oh, let me check my notes. Sorry, I was trying to get the conversation.
We're talking sentient crayons here, so obviously we can go on for eons.
I liked when the one of my least favorite characters, the cowboy, the mayor.
I fucking hated that. I liked when he was the sheriff.
I liked when he got in the paper airplane and flew it around as the big monster was on the building, like a King Kong.
There was a King Kong.
The big monster
there,
is like this picture that was drawn and it was unfinished, and those are like the mysterious
no
characters in the world.
No colors to it. Yeah.
But anyway, he's flying around in a paper airplane and things like vibrating its wings and just making noises.
Like that kind of noise.
And then when it crashes, it's like burned up.
It's all burnt and smoky.
And it's just weird. It's just a weird reality it was in.
Yeah, it is. And you know what my reaction to...
Does fire exist in that reality?
I don't think so because the crayons melt when it gets too hot. If you think about it. You know?
This is hard for me.
No, I know. Really, I mean,
all right, let's talk
I don't think I've laughed in the past 6 hours.
There was another shitty character that was the scientist. Anyone have anything to say about him?
You mean the fucking scientist character who is basically just Professor Frank from The Simpsons?
A total ripoff. We've never seen The Simpsons.
It doesn't matter if you've seen The Simpsons or not, because the fucking audience here are 4-year-olds, and the 4-year-olds who are watching this movie haven't fucking seen The Simpsons.
They're gonna think
there's no fucking way that these 4-year-olds need to even say, "Oh no, Simpsons did it. Fuck that. I'm not watching this."
Yeah,
because they don't give a shit. Because at this movie's core,
here he goes.
This movie's literally just a distraction. This is a distraction for children. It is an escape. It is an escape for mothers. They put this movie on in front of their children.
And what do they do?
Children don't even retain. They don't retain anything from it.
That's why they watch it 100 times.
They watch it 100 times.
I want to watch Car City, mommy.
I want to watch Hero of Car City.
Please. And moms are probably off in the corner popping pills, drinking wine, white wine.
Busting out quick Xanbar.
Mm-hmm.
And here goes Hero Color City. Favorite Owen Wilson movie, right?
He was barely in this movie, by the way. What a big disappointment.
Yeah, let's talk about that. We're on characters here. Owen Wilson played a unfinished drawing of a dragon. Who's actually more... these characters are more cowardly that they come across, and they end up befriending them and coloring them in. Wilson, not a lot of lines, though.
No. And you know what? I get the feeling that maybe... I don't know why he signed on for this.
It's to stay on the insurance plan.
The Actors Guild.
Get their insurance. That's why they do commercials. That's why you see George Clooney do an espresso commercial.
Yeah. Just
so they can get their insurance re-up.
I mean, I'm sure Wayne Brady was so super excited to get in.
Wayne Brady is so forgettable.
The reads on this script is just, they had no direction.
It is atrocious.
I don't think they were showing them like what was going on in the movie. They just gave them a script and said, just read this.
Act
to the best of your ability. Man. You're a crayon.
You are a blue crayon.
Go fuck yourself.
All we know is you're a crayon, Wayne Brady.
Yeah. And maybe you have sunglasses on the top of your head.
But no ears.
Just maybe you're a black crayon, but you're actually a white actor.
The black crayon thing was very confusing here. I got a lot of racial themes out of this
movie. Themes. Let's get into themes now.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
It's indoctrinating. Why can't I say that word?
Indoctrinating?
Yes, our youth.
Yeah.
Is it indoctrinating?
Let's talk about how, potentially.
So, in this movie, here's something I wrote down. In this movie, now hear me out. You're a 4-year-old. You got a real simple, stupid, idiot mind because you're 4 years old. Your brain is real dumb. You're watching this movie. No, I'm not talking about you.
Okay.
So you're watching this movie, and there's some crayons in this movie that have a bad color. And they say that. They're just like, I hate my color. My color is bad because no one wants to use my color. And everyone else that has a popular color is like, well, I don't see the problem. I'm a popular color, so my color is I feel great about myself. And people with the crayons with the bad color, they say, how come we only get to be one color and we're stuck with this color for life?
They definitely didn't acknowledge their struggle.
They were just self-reflective on
their situation.
They got stuck with a bad color, so they're at a lower tier in crayon society.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get used as much, not as popular at school or with the little boys. Mm-hmm. What does that say to our youth?
It's terrible, man.
No one wants to be that color. You're stuck like that for life.
You're yeller.
You're yeller is what it is. So, you know, we're teaching our kids these lessons that there's better colors to be than other colors. And what is that?
It's pretty fucked.
It is pretty fucked. I think so. Who else has other themes they want to unpack? Because there is a lot of movie. None are good. None of which are good. I would rather you ever go out with someone that and they just bring their girlfriend. You don't know they're bringing their girlfriend. It's like a friend of yours, and then you're just sitting there and you watch them fight the whole time for like hours.
Oh yeah,
they're just fighting the whole time.
Terribly awkward.
I would have rather done that than listen to any of the dialogue in this movie because it was just as painful because of how poorly it was You know what I'm getting at.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One thing I'd like to add to it is maybe there's like some atheist idealism here.
Oh, see, I thought it was a very religious movie.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. Well, go on with your thing.
So, yeah, let's hear it.
On the other side of that coin, here we have this. It seems there's this weird view of death that exists in the film. What happens when the crayon is all used up and nothing more than a stub? Okay, so, you know, when the child is done using the crayon.
Yeah.
I mean, why do they show the old crayon is a tall crayon? Like, I think perhaps the best way to go would be to make age not in terms of how old they look, but how tall they are. Because they're a crayon, and a crayon gets the end of its life the shorter it gets.
Crayon.
Because eventually when you can't hold the crayon between your fingers to scribble in and color whatever,
you can't
use it anymore, so you throw it in the trash, and the crayon is essentially dead.
Well,
so there's no sign, like there's this weird view of death that exists in this film the old crayons are very tall, and that doesn't make sense, because if it was an old crayon, that would mean it's close to the end of where you won't see this crayon again, because it's so short that no one can pick it up and use it to come in.
You missed the point. The whole point was reincarnation.
What's the point, Tom?
Reincarnation.
And then,
what was that website at the end of the film they gave us?
Well, Tom, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was about to interrupt him and say that too. The whole point of this movie, in my opinion, it's, by the way, an extremely religious movie, and anyone that's it,
we're going to have to disagree with
very
old Jaywalk.
Going to have to disagree. But at the end of the movie, they say, you know, when your crayons get too short and you can't use them anymore, don't throw them in the garbage, recycle them so we can make more crayons. And this website is crayoncollection.org, which we will visit later on in the cast, if not right now.
Yes, but I also wrote something else down here.
Crayonreincarnation.org.
I totally hear where you're coming from. So I wrote that down, but then I also wrote, because, I mean, these crayons that we come to know in this film have personalities and whatnot, but what happens when that crayon dies? Is their soul reincarnated into
the next crayon? No,
because it seems
acknowledgement
like
of it, so
they
I don't
run
think
into
the,
this box.
I don't think the mental capacity carries over.
So, like, is this
just like in reincarnation?
Is this story happening in seconds? Because that's how short a crayon's life is.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and just interrupt here for a second. I mean, I appreciate all the work you put into the crayon rant about the atheism. No, but, well, listen here, all right? Crayons. All right, first of all, let me ask this question. What is consciousness?
If I had to answer, define an acknowledgement of self.
Okay. Self-awareness. Are these crayons, the crayons in question, said crayons, self-aware?
I believe so, based on what I watched today.
Okay, interesting. Very interesting. Yes. What makes you say that? Is it because they fear for their lives when they're going to lose their color?
Yes, that's part of it.
Okay, I would agree with you.
Yes,
I'm just saying, I'm just questioning
example.
to really lay things out here.
Fear in general, I would say, is an acknowledgement of self.
I would agree, yeah. It's longevity. It's how long am I going to be around? Mm. What happens after I die? Mm. These crayons obviously already have these ideas. They possess and they grasp them. They know these concepts. That's why they go to... That's why they make the long journey to where no crayon has ever been before to save their
survivalism.
People.
Survivalism.
No crayon has ever visited that rainbow waterfall island before.
Because
they never had to. They were content in their color city. And who blames them? It's a beautiful city. I would be content to live there myself.
The animation was amazing.
It was beautiful. And the waterfall was also very visually striking.
Chromatic.
Tons of primary colors. Loved every minute of it. But why would these crayons put their own lives on the line to save the entire crayon race, species, if you will, if they thought there was no point to life? Clearly, they're banding together under what seems like very religious themes for a greater good, which in itself implies some type of community, usually in the most primitive forms, that is in the form of a religion that they all follow to the T. I'm just saying, like, there is some very old school religious themes in this movie, and these crayons are beyond conscious.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Another, totally agree. One other thing I kind of, it wasn't really, like, expressed in the film.
Yeah.
But.
Go on.
Another thing, it shows the crayon box they come in, like Color City, I think, is a brand.
Yes.
In the film, it's a box. And what I kind of got from that is maybe when this, when crayons are thrown out and discarded and new crayons come, what if they come from a different brand? What if this child's mother purchased a different brand of crayon and brought that in there? Does that kind of introduce the idea of sect?
We are our brands.
Like, are there different sects of these different brands of crayons that kind of are like a religion almost?
Yeah.
So you have like Color City, which is the brand that has represented the box in this film.
That's but their own camp.
There are other different brands
Crayola
of crayons.
Crayola World.
When Blue dies and a new Blue comes, but he's from a different brand of crayon, is it kind of like, does it fuck with their governmental system?
So that'd be like...
About colors and everything, like who represents what works? Like,
so this is now operating on two different planes
and we're talking
of coexistence.
About in a child's world is essentially the whole universe for this group of colors in this crayon box.
This is very
really interesting. It's a paradoxical.
So we're
situation.
Now operating on not only we're operating on two different very complex levels of diversity and social hierarchies, because inside of each sect, as your theory presents, there is different colors which have their own tiers in society. But now you introduce a whole different sect, religion, if you will, or country.
Let's call it Crayon Earth 1 and Crayon Earth 2.
And if we go that way, it gets even more mind-blowing. If they're considered extraterrestrials when they enter this new world, wow. This movie just got a lot deeper than I originally thought.
And then, like, there's the whole, like, it's really not even their decision, too, because the mom of the child can buy any brand she wants. So
that's true.
So the mom is the god figure.
The mother is literally the lord of these people. And she also has
the son is Jesus.
She also has say on the political structure of this community of crayons of colors. It's just
let me just introduce this question, because we could talk about this literally for days.
Mm-hmm.
But let me ask you this, because we're all tiptoeing around this. It's kind of the elephant in the room, but I know we're all just dying to get at it, to talk about it. What is the meaning, the significance of the antagonist in this movie being a ruler, a king?
Well, in monarchies, of course... Yeah, there are kings.
True.
Who would be the law of the land, and
you're sweating a lot. It's really just... sweating a lot. Whew. I'll tell you what. Let's take a break. This conversation is getting really intense. Why don't you visit? Go ahead and visit crayoncollection.org, which was advertised at the end of this movie.
If I jump this in and we get brought to some fucking new Christian Science religion site,
I'm
gonna shit myself.
That'd be crazy.
Ready? Okay. We can donate off the bat. I see a lot of
here.
I see a lot of please your money kind of church-like to me.
Churches always want money.
Getting involved.
The City of Malibu honors Crayon Collection as the number one environmental nonprofit of 2016. All right, a little outdated.
Okay.
There was this.
I would stay out of Malibu.
What if this movie was made in conjunction of the launch of this nonprofit organization? You think that's possible?
Can we start a collection? Got crayons?
I mean, I think I have a few.
Sign up for our newsletter. How do
put our
one?
Email address in there. Click here for... we all go to restaurants and see crayons getting tossed in the trash.
Look at this. Look where it's telling us to go to start a Quran collection.
A church or temple.
Interesting. Or a library.
Very interesting.
They throw a library in at the very end to make it seem like it's not.
Seems like religion is important. Like,
well, what else do we, what else should we put in? I don't know. Library.
Church. Wow. Temple. I don't know.
Wow. Wow. When's the last time you guys went to church and had crayons? I wish they gave me, a fucking crayon and a piece of paper when my dad would take me to church as a small boy.
Well, I'm scrolling through. Someone keep talking about
it. Oh, no, I'm entranced by this. All okay, right, well, what we have here is definitely a religious movie, Justin. I'm going to have to...
All right. Well, maybe I'm even starting to come around on the whole subject here.
It seems uncanny at this point.
At first, I was totally thinking incorrectly.
Yeah. Oh, Tommy, good. He's doing a message. Are you going to tell them about how we just watched Hero of Color City, and we're exposing the conspiracy that they have started here amongst our youth?
So here's something for all the listeners at home. Mm-hmm. Right now, this podcast, we are taking a stand.
We are currently sending some feedback.
We are taking a serious stand on crayoncollecting.org.
And seriously, we would like to urge all of you to do the same. Go to crayoncollection.org. Go to the feedback tab. And protest this religious conspiracy they have going with our youth to hoard crayons and possibly make some money off it, even though they masquerade around as a nonprofit, because we saw some very disturbing things in this movie today.
And I hope, I pray that when you put your description of why you're donating this in, you reference this film that we've watched.
And make sure to mention our name. Say Snake NT sent me. Also, Justin or Texas Red, whatever you want to call him, one of his many nicknames. Tell them that we sent you to stop this, because this is going on long enough. Hang on, are you done with it? You want to read it out loud?
Yeah, someone can read it out loud. We're just trying to get some buzz going and maybe get ourselves a sequel.
Just watched Hero of Color City, and boy, did I like it. Please make a Color City 2, but with more Owen Wilson. Please. My daughter would be forever grateful. Okay, that's not really what I was talking about, but, you know, if you really like to know.
Let's see if they double down, and when they double down, we strike. That's when we strike.
What I'm talking about. That's more like it.
As Snake NT.
Yeah, sign it. Sign it.
My daughter would be grateful. Signed, Snake NT.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's better. That's better. Now we have a game plan. But we want all of you to go and give them a feedback message. Tell them that we sent you, and we're not going to let this one go. Anyone else have anything about this movie they want to talk about? I mean, I know Wayne Brady breakdances on a car, and it colors it in. That's pretty cool. There's a trash dragon.
What I really want to know is, how much money did Wayne Brady make for this film?
I'm going to say he made exactly enough to purchase a used 2002 Buick LeSabre.
Like, honestly, I don't get it. I'm going to say he made
$2,500. Yeah, $2,500. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Exactly. Used 2002 Buick LeSabre price.
$2,500 he got paid to do this.
As a matter of fact, they might have paid all the voice actors in this with used cars.
They did it all in 1 6-hour session. There were no retakes. If it wasn't great, they would still be able to use it and salvage what they had. 6 hours. Here you go. Here's $2,500, Wayne Brady.
What did you guys think of the past Wilson movie reference? They reference Behind Enemy Lines.
Oh, they do.
Met Wilson.
I loved it.
Think that was intentional?
I mean, I think that they all
absolutely
knew.
Absolutely was intentional.
It was intentional, and I think maybe Wayne Brady kind of ad-libbed that, because I think that all those actors were just so in awe of being in the presence of such a big-name actor.
Oh, they were not in his presence. Nobody was in the same room. I want to make that clear.
He might have done that in the bathroom while he was taking a dump.
None of these actors were together while recording their voices.
Literally phoned it in, some of them.
They might have actually been on phones being recorded.
Look, guys, we could talk all day. I want to get to rating this thing, because...
We're going on a little bit here. I know. Yeah, I know. But,
I'll kick it off here. After talking about it, I feel like it's changed a little bit, but I'm going to stick with what I had. Yeah. Quality of the Wilson, wasn't a lot of lines, wasn't even comedic. It was just kind of there. One.
Yeah.
It's not a zero. A zero would have been that fucking Jackie Chan movie that he was in
for one line only. Oh my for God. 1 minute.
Around the World in 80 Days.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible. So it's not as bad as that.
Mm-hmm.
Quality of the film? All right. It's a kid's movie, so I gave it a 3. It did what? It's the colors and the great, great animation. I mean, everything looks smooth to me.
I really don't know what's in the water now with these animation movies, but they are amazing.
They really, truly are. So that was a 3, because it did have some elements. I mean, if I had a kid, I'd put it on. I wouldn't tell them they need to see it. I'd put it on before their brain was developed enough to remember it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Rewatchability, I gave it a 2, but I didn't give it a 1 because I'm sure kids would want to. We were joking. Kids probably give it 11 out of 10, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Overall, I give it a 2.
Okay. I mean, that's pretty much
on par with me. It's not for me.
That's pretty much why I'm on par with me. I gave the quality of Wilson, I gave like a 2, just like you, because, I mean, I barely got a taste of him, and it was just really like, he didn't want to be there. We all know he didn't want to be there. It's a movie literally for babies. Quality of film, I gave a 1 because it was not good. The story was pretty dumb and it was really boring to watch. It was only an hour though, so it was literally a quick watch. It didn't seem quick. It was just actually a very short movie. And rewatchability, I gave a 0. So overall, I gave it a 1.5.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jaywalk.
So Quality Wilson, I gave it a 1.5. It fucking sucked. Film, I gave it a 2 because it fucking sucked. And watchability, like, I'm doing a podcast right now, so like the only fucking reason I watched this children's movie is because it pertained to the podcast. So yeah, 0 because it fucking sucked. So overall, it got a 1.75. I don't know. It fucking sucked.
All right, now we've got angsty teenage Justin's view on the, right? on the matter.
Who is this guy?
Oh, wow. That was some hate in there.
Yeah. Are you too cool?
Yeah.
Too cool?
Oh, he didn't even wear a jacket today. You know that? He's too cool to wear a jacket. Too cool to watch a child's movie.
Psst. Wow.
That's all right. So we do the pitch, Wilson.
What's the emo song again? Nobody referenced the emo song.
Everyone needs to look it up. Look up the just... Find we're going to watch the credits.
We're going to put it at the end of
if
the...
we can find it.
If
but
I can find it, I will put it at the
it
end.
It sounds like a song. Like, if you listen to the lyrics, it sounds like an emo song. Like, fucking, like, Taking Back Sunday or Fall Out Boy should be singing it. But it's just, like, this really gentle female voice. Just look at we can't sing it. It won't make any sense. Yeah, but just try and find it if you can. It's hilarious to think about, though.
If someone has a picture of Wilson, go ahead.
I actually do. I thought about one all day.
Good. Go for it.
I work 18 hours a week now.
Today, I literally forgot about
really
it.
Really a lot of free time. A ton of free time. Wow. I thought about one all day.
You really wrote down a lot, man. Hope
Hang
it's good.
A second. No, this is not the notebook it's in. This is my big Atlas-sized notebook over here that I got. There we go. That's what I got it in. I keep it in this bag. It's very large. I wrote a lot. No, I'm gonna close that door. Okay. So, the idea I have is Owen Wilson has a neighbor who's really pissing him off. I'm talking like, you know, it's the classic neighbor rivalry. You know, like Owen Wilson, every time he mows his lawn, the other guy's lawn looks better, or he has to do something to reseed him or get sod down. Really always has to outdo him. They don't get along. Every time Owen Wilson like has a party, this guy's calling the cops on him, and he's really like fed up with his shit. And this guy is kind of a—he's a bit of a redneck douchebag. He's always got his big fucking Confederate flag up, you know, on a pole outside in the front yard, and they're always at odds. The neighbor is played by Paul Giamatti, by the way. Mm. So you know they're going at it one day, and almost is like, you know what? I had enough of this guy's shit. I'm gonna put up my own flagpole. I'm gonna put a Union flag up there. So he erects a bigger flagpole with a big, like, original, like, you know, 12 colonies or whatever, like, a Union flag up there. And, you know, they're floating in the breeze one day. And then they, like, their heated argument comes to the point where they each, like, take down the other person takes down each other's flags, and then they take them back, and then they have a flag fight in the street where they're whipping each other with these flags. And then the two flags intertwine, and it makes an explosion that sends and warps them through time and space to an alternate reality where they live in a world now where the Civil War never ended and it's still ongoing, and Owen Wilson is the general of the Union side, and Paul Giamatti's character is the general of the Confederation, So they're the Confederates, and then they have to battle each other for all eternity, and then they never return. It's an ongoing civil war between the two of them.
So Owen Wilson is General
Grant.
And but Paul those, Giamatti is Robert E. Lee.
Yeah, it's but those characters reality, do though. Not exist. It's them. They always were the generals. But this Civil War has been going on for thousands of years.
It's a forever war.
It's a forever war, and they're trapped in this dimension now. But through their childish bickering, they have been trapped now in an endless war that will never end. And also, they can never see their wife and kids again, and they do remember their past lives. And eventually, the movie ends with both of them shaking hands, and then they build the first Burger King. And that's it. That's the movie.
I like it.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's not bad.
I don't even have a follow-up question today on it.
I just like the scene where they're whipping each other with flags.
Yeah.
That sounds like a funny scene.
Yeah.
That's what I got. I don't really have a name for it. I mean, I guess we can call it like Marvel Comics Civil War or whatever. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not?
It's out there.
Yeah. It's not my beer. This is my beer.
Justin, you come up with anything?
Sure. Okay. So Owen Wilson plays this scientist named Chad, and Chad,
I already love it.
And Chad finds a way to reanimate the corpse of Humphrey Bogart, and he brings Humphrey Bogart back to life, and then he like shows Humphrey Bogart what this like the future looks like. Humphrey Bogart sucks.
Well, speak up with it.
Get into the microphone there.
Humphrey Bogart sucks because he's old and he's from the 40s. So, like, Owen Wilson has to, like, break down stigmas and stuff. And Humphrey Bogart becomes a better guy in the end. And we have Owen Wilson to thank for it. And it's called...
It's called...
Dot, dot, dot.
Ellipses.
I don't know.
Who plays Humphrey Bogart? Bogart.
Bogart.
Who plays the modern day Humphrey Bogart?
I mean, I don't know. It hasn't been casted yet, so.
Sorry.
Somebody who looks like Bogart. I don't know.
Okay. John Goodman.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John Goodman.
Good. I like it. No, I
Tom Hanks.
Definitely, I think it's good.
I think
Tom
it's
Hanks.
Fine.
Tom Hanks plays Bogart.
I would watch it.
Stanley Tucci's in it, too.
What's he doing in that?
He's a psychiatrist.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, that's...
Tom, what do you got?
I really didn't have anything, but I want to make a movie where Wilson is directing this movie about a man who brings back Humphrey Bogart, but he's trying to work with the writer, but the writer just cannot seem to piece the story together. And they have this huge budget, and they haven't even gotten through casting yet, and it's just a big clusterfuck, and it's about the movie business. Those things always win Oscars, man.
They do.
That actually sounds even better than Justin's.
It's Oscar
idea.
Bait, yeah.
Barton Fink.
Yeah. And he keeps going, who do you see playing him? And he's like, it's not cast yet. He's like, this is the casting. We're in the casting right now.
That's even better than Justin's idea for whatever movie that was.
And Ed Helms plays Justin's writer character. Owen Wilson plays the director, Francis Ford Coppola.
Coppola.
And it's going to be good.
Dennis Hopper is in it.
Yep.
Then he died.
Right before he died, he filmed some raw footage for us.
I know this movie will be made.
You guys haven't seen it yet. But it's you know, it's a rare treat.
Not the strongest pitch of Wilson, but Jake did carry us through on it. I think that's what we got. I mean, guys, go to the website. I'll put the links in the thing for once. I always say I'm going to do that. I never do
it. Put the links in there. The website is coming up quick. We're just
there's on a contact small, page on there.
A small transitional period. We're waiting for you contact all to get the contact stuff. Yeah,
we have a YouTube page going. We have an Instagram account.
We got some great
what's
ideas.
The Instagram account?
The Instagram account is Snake and Tea.
And you can find that through the Facebook too,
at
obviously.
Snake and Tea. Find that.
Download.
We got it all
subscribe.
Linked up. Everything's all linked up. We got it. Everything is.
But is
even
it on
the
LinkedIn?
YouTube is.
If someone rates the podcast, we'll send them $10.
I will send it. Oh, yeah. If you rate the podcast.
No
send us an email, snakeandtea@gmail.com.
$5. We'll give you $5 if you email us.
Now, hang on. Well, if we pull together, I got like $6.50.
I'm in the hole pretty deep now.
I just got paid on Friday. That's the only reason I'm saying.
Tommy's on a bad streak.
Okay, that's okay.
$5.
All right, we'll send you $5 in the first email, and please, we're so lonely. Oh God.
Bye.